unintended to hurt me, but the pain spreads inside me anyway. You give more thought to my proposal. My eyes shift away from Reed toward Daniel. Daniel is the quintessential rich boy, kind of like what I thought the royals would look like. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and a face that probably adorns paintings in old English museums. The royals are almost thuggish compared to his easy elegance. Any girl would be thrilled to be asked out on a date by Daniel. And I think it says something bad about me that I can't summon up any excitement for him. I'm kind of a mess right now, I inform him. There's better, more together fish in the pond. He studies me for a moment. I can't figure out if you're trying to let me down gently, or if you aren't giving yourself enough credit. Either way, I'm not giving up. I'm saved from making a response when a loud horn blasts behind us. We turn to see that Reed has maneuvered his rover so close to Daniel's sports car that the fenders are nearly kissing. The juxtaposition between the two vehicles is almost laughable, with the rover towering over the smaller two-seater convertible. It looks like the rover is just waiting to drive right over the top of Daniel's car. Daniel leans back into the driver's seat and puts his car in gear. With a mischievous glint in his eyes, he tilts his head toward Reed. Someone is overcompensating, but I don't think it's me. With that, he peels away, leaving a space that Reed quickly occupies. Daniel's wrong. Reed has nothing to overcompensate for. His oversized SUV matches him perfectly.
You going out with him?
Reed asks the moment I close the passenger door. Daniel?
Did some other guy ask you out too?
I wish he wasn't wearing sunglasses. I can't see his eyes. Is he mad? Frustrated? Pleased? No, just Daniel. And I'm thinking about it. I search his profile. Any reason not to? A muscle in his jaw flexes. If he gives me the smallest opening, I take it. Come on, Reed, come on. He offers a brief glance before returning his eyes to the road.
I think we called a truce last night, right?
I want it to be more than a truce, and the thought surprises me. A ceasefire is one thing, but admitting to myself, and to him, that I want to act on the attraction between us, that feels like a dangerous mistake. Yeah, something like that, I murmur.
Then I'd be a dick if I told you not to go out with him.
No, I think. You'd be telling me you cared about me. I don't think looking out for someone's well-being violates the spirit of our truce, I say lightly.
If you're asking if he's going to hurt you, I'd say no. Haven't heard of him bragging in the locker room about girls he's hooked up with. I think everyone considers him a decent guy.
Reed shrugs.
He's with the lacrosse team. Those guys tend to stick together, so I don't know him too well, but well enough, I guess. If I had a sister, I wouldn't object to her dating him.
That's not my question, I shout at him in my head. Out loud, I poke at him from a different angle. Are you and Abby getting back together?
We were never together, he says roughly.
You looked kinda cozy just now. Daniel said you two are meant to be a couple.
Did he? Reed sounds amused. Didn't know Daniel had that kind of interest in my love life.
So Abby is part of your love life. I'm a glutton for punishment with all these questions.
What exactly are you asking?
He turns left, and I can't see his face because of it. Too embarrassed to press the topic, I slump back into the seat. Nothing. After a beat, Reed sighs.
Look, I'm going away to college next year. And unlike Gideon, I'm not coming back every other weekend. I need time away from this town, this family. Abby and I had a nice time, sure, but she's not my future, and I'm not gonna dick her around, or anyone else for that matter, just to get my nut off.
And there's my answer. Even if he is attracted to me, though I notice he was careful not to say it, he's not going to do anything about it. He's leaving as soon as possible. I should admire that kind of honesty, but I don't. Some silly part of me wants him to declare that if he wanted me bad enough, no principles would ever prevent him from having me. God, I'm a sick puppy. I turn away from him and watch the city pass us by as Reed navigates home. Finally, tired of the silence, I blurt out, "Why do you fight? Is it for the money?"
He releases a sharp bark of laughter. "Hell no. I fight because it makes me feel good."
"Because you won't let yourself sleep with Abby? So you have to go out and pound a few guys to get rid of whatever is building up inside of you?"
The words slip out before my brain catches up. Reed stops the rover, and I look around, surprised to see we're already home. He pulls off his sunglasses finally, and stares at me.
My throat goes dry.
"What is it?"
He reaches out and fingers a lock of my hair. His knuckles are inches away from my breast, and it takes superhuman effort not to lean into his touch, not to press his hand fully against me.
"Do you really think it's Abby who's keeping me up at night?"
"I don't know." I hesitate. "I don't want it to be." I hold my breath, waiting for him to answer, but all he does is drop my hair and grab the door handle. Without turning back to look at me, he says,
"Daniel's a good guy. Maybe you should give him a chance."
I sit in the car after he leaves, so I can regain my composure. Neither of us explicitly stated it, but I know it's out in the open now. I laid my feelings out there, and he told me to keep them. He did it in a nice way. But a clean knife still makes a painful wound. Brooke is sitting poolside when I enter the house. She seems to have recovered from last night's drinking session. She's babbling away to Reed, who stands next to her lounger, stiff as a board, as her hand runs up and down his bare calf. I've seen her touching Gideon like that, too, and I wonder why the boys put up with that. I know they can't stand her. If there was one thing that Callum could do to repair his relationship with his sons, it would be to jettison Brooke. Lonely and irritated, I seek out Easton, who slumped on his bed watching a car show where they take it apart and put it back together so it looks like a cartoon vehicle.
"So, we're trucing, huh?"
He grins when he spots me. "Is that even a word?" I ask as I walk into his room.
"It sounds like a word, so I guess it has to be. Douchetard sounds like a word, too, but I'm pretty sure you won't find it in the dictionary." "You calling me a douchetard?"
"Nah, you're just a regular old douche."
"Aw, thanks, little sis.
You know we're the same age, right?" I roll my eyes and climb onto the bed next to him. Easton rolls over to make room for me.
"I've always been older and wiser than my years."
"Uh-huh, sure.
Seriously, though, Reed says we're all cool now. Is this for real, or are you playing another game?"
"I was never playing a game to begin with," I grumble. "And yeah, I think it's for real." He looks more relieved than I expected. "Anyway, I wanted to ask you something. What do you think of Daniel Delacorte?"
"Why do you want to know?"
"He asked me out after he heard you kissed me. Apparently that was like the kiss of approval." Easton waggles his eyebrows at me.
"I'm magical, aren't I? You're something."
I throw a pillow at his head, which he catches and tucks under his chest. "Why did you kiss me?"
"I was horny. You were there. I wanted to kiss you."
He shrugs and turns back to the television.
"Felt good. Wanted to."
It's so simple for Easton. He's driven by his base urges. Eat, drink, kiss, repeat.
"Why do you kiss me?"
he counters. My reasons seem more complicated. I wanted to make Reed jealous. I wanted to prove to myself and everyone else in that club that I was desirable. I wanted a warm, affectionate touch from someone, anyone. I guess my reasons aren't so different from Easton's, after all. I wanted to.
"Want another go at me?"
He pats his cheek in invitation. Laughing, I shake my head.
"How come?"
He's unfazed by my rejection.
"Because..."
"Just because." I avert my eyes.
"Nuh-uh, you're not getting off that easy. I want you to say it. Tell your big brother about your crush on your other big brother."
"You're imagining things. I'm not crushing on Reed." I lie.
"Bull."
"I'm not," I insist. But Easton sees right through me.
"Shit, Ella, I need a smoke every time you two are within 5 feet of each other."
He grins, but almost immediately sobers.
"Look, I like you. Didn't think I would, but I do. And because I like you, I feel the need to warn you that we royals are pretty fucked up. We're good in bed, but out of it, We're like a stage 4 hurricane. And Daniel? He's a good guy. Isn't a slut like me. Guys on the lacrosse team like him. His dad's a judge. Any rumors about him? Not that I know of. You planning on hooking up? Savannah said, you can't listen to a word she says. Easton interrupts. I eye him suspiciously. Why not? She and Gid had a thing last year. My jaw falls open. Seriously? Savannah and Gideon? I think back to the campus tour, to Savannah's blunt explanation of how the Royals run the school, but I don't remember her showing any emotion when she said it. Except, she had been staring at him during Jordan's party, staring hard, like she was trying to mentally erase him from her sight. Savannah was this awkward middle schooler, Easton continues. Braces, kind of weird hair. Don't know what she did to it. Maybe a different cut or something. Anyway, she comes into 10th grade, totally changed. Gid took one look at her and slapped his name on her ass. But sometime around Uncle Steve's death, things changed. He dropped her hard, and she's been a bitter Betty ever since. Damn, I whistle. Savannah and Gideon. I can't even picture them as a couple. Told you. Stage 4 hurricane. He makes a wrecking motion with his hand, then sighs and turns back to the TV. Chapter 23. Daniel is waiting at my locker the next morning. Even though Reed and Easton both gave me their approval, I'm still torn about Daniel. But I need to move on from Reed. That much is clear. Daniel barely has a chance to say hello before I lay down the law. I need to tell you up front that I'm the opposite of a sure thing. I explain awkwardly. Right now, I'm dealing with big changes in my life, and I can't handle anything heavy. I got you, he promises. He leans down and plants a soft kiss on my cheek. You're sweet. I can wait. I'm sweet. Other than my mom, nobody has ever called me that. I think I kind of like it. Daniel meets me at my locker every day after that, sharing something funny, and then leaving me with a kiss on the cheek. Easton teases me about it at night, but every time I look at Reed for a response, his face is impenetrable. I have no idea how he feels about all the attention I'm getting from Daniel, but at least our truce is still intact. Even Callum has noticed the difference in the royal mansion. When he walked past my bedroom the other night and saw me and Easton watching TV together, I swear his eyebrows almost jumped off his face. On Friday, I bring Daniel an apple cruller, which he told me was his favorite pastry at the French Twist. And this time, the kiss he gives me is directly against my lips, soft and dry, but surprisingly not unpleasant. A loud bang at the end of the hall scares me, and I jump back, nearly dropping his gift. Easy there. Daniel plucks the pastry from my hand. You can't be damaging the food. That's a serious violation of the Geneva Convention. I'll have to haul you in for punishment. His eyes are twinkling. Are you trying to go out with me for my access to baked goods? I ask in mock suspicion. Oh, man. He slaps a hand to his heart. You found me out. Am I in trouble? His antics draw a smile from me. Oh, I got you to smile. And that's bad, because, sweetheart, that smile is a killer. I think my heart stopped. He taps his chest. Have a listen. Daniel's so obviously corny and lighthearted, I decide to play along. I lean my head against his chest and listen to the easy, even thumps of his heartbeat. Beside me, I hear a gagging noise. When I straighten, I see Easton sticking his finger down his throat. He rolls his eyes at us and keeps walking. At his side, Reed doesn't look up. He looks so hot in his untucked uniform shirt that I have to force myself to look away. Daniel laughs. So, you coming to the game tonight? I think so. I lock my knees so I don't turn around to see what Reed is doing. But I probably won't get there until the second half. I work until 7 on Fridays. How about the party after? I'm going with Easton, I admit. We agreed last night that he'd take me to the post-football party.
Val is staying home because she has a Skype date with Tam, which sucks because I always have more fun when she's around. Throughout the entire discussion between me and Easton about the game and whose car we'll take to the party, Reed stood there like a statue. He didn't say a word, and I just wanted to smash his mute button to pieces and force him to talk to me. But that would probably destroy the truce. I can't decide what I like more. The calm royal household with the voiceless Reed, or the one where he's yelling at me to stay away and threatening me with his penis.
I gotcha. We can hang, right?
Daniel asks.
Right.
As he flashes one of his million-dollar smiles and saunters off, I wonder why I don't just say yes to him. The party is at one of the lacrosse players' mansions. Farris, somebody, I don't know him. He's a senior like Reed, and supposedly a hardcore science geek. He and another science guy are mixing drinks that they're serving in glass beakers. They fully committed to the act by putting on white lab coats that hang open to display washboard abs, demolishing any nerd stereotype. I choose the strawberry daiquiri, even though the bartender slash chemist tries to foist a weird-looking green thing into my hand. Easton turns it all down.
I drink beer, he declares. All the hops inside me will protest if I introduce something fruity into my system.
After I take my beaker, Easton leads me away.
That stuff can be real strong, so be careful tonight, he warns.
I take a sip. It tastes like a smoothie.
Exactly. These guys are masters at getting everyone hammered without anyone realizing it.
Okay. One drink is all I'll have. I'm touched that Easton is looking out for me. I've never had that before. I sweep the room looking for Reed, but I don't see him anywhere. Pathetically, I check with Easton. Is Reed coming?
I don't know, probably, but I saw him with Abby again tonight after the game.
I chug half the beaker in response. Easton searches my face.
You gonna be okay?
Peachy, I lie.
If you need anything, I'm only a phone call away.
He holds up his cell.
But for now, I need to get laid, little sis.
He pops a kiss on my cheek and heads out toward the pool. Daniel sidles up the moment Easton disappears. His eyes twinkle playfully.
Geez, I thought the chaperone would never leave. Come on, I'll introduce you around.
He wraps an arm around my shoulder and takes me from group to group. Kids at school who haven't given me the time of day are suddenly nodding, smiling, and making conversation as we talk about the game we won tonight. The opponent next week, who will crush? The Hobbit chem teacher no one likes, and the art teacher everyone does. The experience is almost dreamlike. I'm not sure if it's because Daniel is by my side, or if news of the royal truce has trickled down to the little people, but everyone is nice. Their smiles are bright, and the laughter, the shared giddiness, is infectious. My cheeks ache from smiling so much.
You having a good time?
Daniel murmurs into my hair. I lean against him.
I am. I really am,
I say in surprise. Reed is off somewhere, and this time it's probably him and Abby rocking his Range Rover, and not Wade, who I saw inside with a girl perched on his knee. But so what? Nice Daniel is here, with his solid arm across my shoulders and his warm body snugged up to mine. A strange sluggishness creeps over me. The alcohol is stripping down my defenses, just like Easton warned, and a prickle of alarm zips up the nape of my neck.
Let me get you another drink, Daniel offers.
I think... I stare up at him, unsure of what I'm thinking. She needs to use the bathroom. I frown at the intruder. Savannah Montgomery. What's she doing here? Before I can protest, she drags me off to the closest bathroom and shuts the door. I watch as she turns on the faucet and dips a hand towel under the stream of water. What the hell is going on right now? I demand. She turns with a cloudy expression.
Look, she says bluntly, I don't like you much.
Gee, thanks. But I wouldn't let even my worst enemy be sucked in by Daniel. My confusion triples. What's wrong with Daniel? Reed and Easton vouched for him. They said he's a good...
You want some advice?
she cuts in. Don't take a royal's word for anything.
That bitterness Easton had mentioned is now painfully obvious. It's in the tight set of her jaw, the harshness of her words.
I get that you don't like them, I say softly. I heard about you and Gideon.
She interrupts again, her green eyes burning with disgust. You know what? I changed my mind. You and Daniel are perfect for each other. Have a great night, Ella. With that, Savannah throws the wet towel at me, and it strikes me across the face, soaking the front of my t-shirt. Bewildered, I hang the towel up and pluck the wet fabric away from my chest. What the hell just happened? Daniel is waiting outside the bathroom, concern etched into his face. What's wrong? You and Savannah get into it?
Not exactly. I don't know what happened back there, other than she got mad and soaked my shirt.
I point to the wet Astor Park t-shirt I borrowed from one of the twins and tied in the back to make it fit.
Do you need another shirt? I can grab one from Ferris's room.
He points upward.
No, that's okay. It'll dry.
I flap the fabric. It's thin enough that it should dry fairly quickly.
He nods.
Look, I don't want to say anything bad about her, but Sav isn't a real happy person these days. Don't let it rub off on you.
Yeah, I get that.
They're setting up a dart game in the other room. You interested?
Sure, why not?
He hands me a water bottle. Don't know if you want this, since you're already soaked, but I thought you might like it. Those drinks Ferris mixes are potent.
Thanks. I twist the bottle open, noting that the seal hadn't been broken. Daniel clearly falls in the good guy category, and I'd be really stupid not to at least give him a chance.
His arm bumps against my shoulder as we walk down the hall.
You know, Daniel, I take a breath. I think we should go out.
Yeah? He beams.
Definitely.
All right, then.
He pulls me to his side and kisses me on the temple in another nice, reassuring move.
But first, let's go kick some ass in darts.
The dartboard is a bar-sized thing in the pool house at the back of the Ferris property. The sight of two other girls already lounging on a leather sectional eases my mind that Daniel hadn't immediately assumed my agreement for one date meant I'm ready to get down.
This is Zoe and Nadine. They're from town.
Zoe lifts a limp wrist.
We go to Southeast High.
Didn't we just play your team tonight?
Yep,
she confirms.
And now we're celebrating.
I have to laugh.
But you lost.
Then I guess we're getting consoled?
She and Nadine giggle again.
Good thing we have Hugh here.
Hugh is a wiry guy, a few inches taller than me, who takes a drag of whatever it is he's smoking, and merely nods.
Daniel winks at the girls.
Well, Ella and I have a date with the dartboard. You three want to join us?
Nope. We'll just watch.
Hugh likes watching, don't you, Hugh? Hugh blows smoke in their faces, which makes them laugh even harder. Not hard to guess these girls are drunk or stoned.
You want red or yellow?
Daniel holds up two darts.
Red.
He hands me the red darts, then pulls me over to the dartboard. Before I can throw mine, I feel a prick in my upper arm.
Ouch!
I slap my hand over my arm.
What was that?
He holds up his yellow dart, looking sheepish.
I poked you with my dart.
Geez, Daniel, that hurt.
Not even funny.
I rub the sore spot. He frowns at the point of his dart.
I'm sorry. I must have pricked you too hard.
I force myself to relax.
Just don't do it again, okay?
He draws me into his arms.
It won't happen again.
I let him hold me for a minute, because the contact feels really good. When he releases me, I have to catch myself on a nearby table. My balance is off. I must be still experiencing the effects of the drink. We play one round and then another. My aim is terrible, and I hit the wall more than I hit the dartboard. Daniel makes a few jokes about how he hopes I never have to compete in the Hunger Games. By the third round, my mouth is strangely dry. I reach for my water bottle, but my hand misses and knocks it over.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
I hear the girls giggle behind me. I fall to my knees,
and look for something to mop up the floor with.
My shirt. My shirt is absorbent and already wet. Besides, the fabric is really bothering me. Actually, all of my clothes are starting to irritate me. My bra feels too tight, and the elastic of my underwear is digging into my skin. The threads of the hem of my skirt scratch my thighs every time I move. I should take off my clothes.
That's a good idea, Daniel agrees.
I must have said that out loud. My clothes are bothering me, I confess.
Yes, let's take off our clothes,
one of the girls shouts from the sofa. I hear a rustling of fabric and then more giggles.
My head is stuck,
one of them chirps.
Why don't you two help each other out?
Hugh suggests. I push to my feet, bracing myself against Daniel's shoulder. Zoe tugs Nadine's top off and throws it at Hugh. He drops it to the floor and strolls over to the sofa.
I should go, I tell Daniel.
I have a good idea what's going to happen between the three of them, and I don't really care to watch. Daniel tugs me against his body again, wrapping an arm around my waist. His physical response to the scene unfolding in front of me is unmistakable.
Where's Reed?
I turn abruptly. The tingling between my legs makes me think of him.
I need him.
No, you don't. You've got me.
Daniel grinds himself slowly against me.
No.
I jerk out of his grasp.
I'm sorry, Daniel. I don't think... I'm not...
I raise a hand to my head and shakily push it through my hair. Need is pulsing through my blood. I can hear my heartbeat, loud and fast, in my ears. I force myself to concentrate.
I need Reed.
Jesus, you stupid bitch. Just close your eyes and enjoy it.
His voice isn't nice anymore. It's cold and annoyed. He yanks at the bottom of my shirt. I bat at his hands, but my movements lack coordination, and he's got my top off before I can protest.
How's it going over there?
I hear Hugh say. His voice is close, very close.
She's just rolling. I gave her some Molly. She thought I pricked her with a dart.
Daniel sounds delighted with his trick. I try to swing out a fist, but my arm is too heavy. Hugh pauses.
Dude, you think you should be doing that with Ella Royal? I thought we were going to stick with out-of-towners after the thing with Savannah's cousin. No good to shit where you eat.
Daniel snorts. The Royals can't stand her. She's not going to say anything. She's trash.
Trumped up nobody made me work for a week.
He cups my face, and it feels so good. I wish Reed was here, and that it was his hand. I moan his name.
What'd you say?
Daniel laughs.
I think this chick banged both Easton and Reed.
He roughly fondles my boobs, and the contact draws another groan from me.
Shit, she's horny,
Hugh gloats.
Awesome. Can I have her when you're done?
Sure.
Let me do my thing and then she's all yours. How loose do you think she is? Heard she's had a lot of action.
Don't know yet. Can't get her damn legs open. He pushes me down onto a chair and thrusts a knee between my legs.
Why not give her a little coke? That'll wake her up.
Yeah, good idea. The pressure disappears as Daniel gets up and stalks over to the counter. I watch with alarm as he rummages through a drawer.
Where does Ferris keep that shit? I thought it was here. Oh, maybe the fridge.
I hear muffled voices from outside the pool house.
Ella. Seen her?
Daniel. Pool.
Reed. I force myself to get to my feet. Reed.
I stumble past the two girls who are busy kissing each other.
Hey, hold up.
Daniel slams a drawer shut and races over to me, slapping his hand on the door before I can pull it open.
Where are you going?
I need to leave,
I insist, and grab for the doorknob.
No, you don't. Come back here.
We fight for the door. Daniel has something sharp and shiny in his hand.
Hugh, a hand, please,
he calls. I pound on the door.
Reed! Reed!
Daniel curses and Hugh yanks me away, but they're too late. The door bursts open, and Reed appears. His blue eyes immediately become enraged,
when he spots the three of us. I lurch toward him. Daniel, in his surprise, lets me go, and I fall on the floor.
What the fuck is going on?
Reed growls.
Shit, man, she's trashed,
Daniel says with a hasty laugh.
I had to bring her here so she wouldn't embarrass herself.
No. No, I protest, trying to sit up, but it's all a muddle. I can't find the words to explain myself. I can only look up at Reed in despair. He'll hate me now. He'll really believe I'm a slut. All the fight drains out of me. I'm done. More people arrive, and five sets of big feet line up before my eyes. The number of people here to witness my humiliation grows. I drop my head to the tiled floor, hoping that it opens up and swallows me whole.
You have two options,
Reed starts speaking. His voice is strong and calm, as if he's giving a morning address to the student body.
You can either apologize and tell the truth, and only one of us will beat your face in, or you lie, and we all take turns making your body into a science project. Choose your words carefully.
Is he talking to me? I think he might be. I raise my head to protest that I did nothing wrong. But when I look up, I see a wall of royal bodies. All of the brothers are there, every single one of them, including Gideon. Their arms are crossed, and their faces are thunderous. But none of them are looking at me. I peer over my shoulder where Daniel is, his hands at his sides, and a syringe dangling between his fingers. He clears his throat.
Reed, I didn't do anything. Guess you've made your choice. A really stupid one, too.
I hear Easton mutter. Dismissing Daniel from his gaze, Reed leans down and lifts me into his arms. He folds me against his chest, one arm holding my bottom, the other wrapped tightly around my shoulders. This guy has been my enemy, the source of so much emotional pain. But right now, I cling to him, as if he holds the only comfort I will ever find in this world. Inside the Range Rover, I begin to cry.
Reed, something is wrong with me.
I know, baby. It's going to be okay.
He lays a cool hand on my leg. And the sensation is mind-blowing. I need you to touch me. I try to drag his hand upward. He groans. His grip tightens on my leg just for a second, but then he pulls away.
No, I protest. That feels good.
Daniel shot you up with ecstasy, Ella. You're in a drug-induced state of horniness, and I'm not taking advantage of you.
But,
I argue, reaching for him.
No,
he barks back.
Now please, for the love of God, will you please be quiet and let me drive?
I scuttle back, but the prickling sensation on my skin doesn't stop. I rub my legs together to ease some of the ache, and I find that helps a little. I'd rather have the touch be from Reed, but my own hands are providing relief, and so I take it. I run my hands over my thighs, down my calves. My skin feels like it's alive, and I reach under Reed's borrowed shirt to massage away the ache.
Jesus, Ella, please. You're killing me here.
Embarrassed, I try to stop. I'm sorry, I apologize in a small voice.
I don't know what's happening.
Let's just get you home.
He sounds exhausted. The rest of the car ride is agonizing. It takes all my mental energy to keep from touching myself. Reed whips the car down the lane and then jumps out of the Rover before the engine dies down. He jerks open the door, and I tumble out into his arms. We both moan, me in relief, and him in frustration. Other car doors slam, and the other brothers join us, with Sawyer running ahead to get the door. Gideon speaks up.
She's going to have a long night. One of you need to help her.
In what way?
Reed grinds out.
You know.
Gideon's voice is low.
Fuck.
You want me to do it?
Easton asks. I curl into Reed. His grip around me tightens.
No. No one but me.
My head is foggy as he carries me up the stairs and deposits me on the bed. When he moves away, I reach for him in dismay. Don't leave me.
I won't, he promises.
I'm just getting a washcloth.
I start crying again when he disappears into the bathroom.
I don't know why I'm so weepy.
You're drugged to hell. Molly, coke, God knows what else he gave you.
Reed sounds disgusted.
I'm sorry.
I whisper.
I'm not mad at you.
He presses the cold cloth against my forehead.
I'm mad at myself. I did this. Well, Easton and I. I brought this on you. I'm Reed the Destroyer.
He sounds sad.
Didn't you know that?
I don't like that name. He sits next to me, drawing the cloth around and around my face, down my neck, and onto my shoulders. It feels heavenly.
Yeah, and what would you call me instead?
I open my mouth and say, mine.
Chapter 24. We both stop breathing.
Ella,
he starts, but he doesn't finish. He just watches as I sit up. I pull the wet cloth from his hand and toss it onto the floor. His borrowed shirt follows shortly after.
Ella,
he tries again. But I'm done with him trying to be noble. I need him right now. I climb onto his lap, winding my legs around his hips. Ask me why Daniel was so angry with me before. Reed tries to untangle my legs.
Ella,
ask me. There's a beat, and then his attempts to push me off him stop. His hands come to rest on my thighs, and a full body shiver races through me.
Why was he so angry with you?
Reed asks hoarsely. Because I wouldn't stop saying your name. His eyes flare. Because it's you. It's always been you, and I'm tired of fighting it. Cloudiness fills his expression.
My brother.
You, I repeat. Always you. I lock my hands at the nape of his neck, and he groans.
You're not thinking clearly.
Not 'cause of the drugs, I whisper. Haven't been thinking clearly since I met you. Another groan leaves his lips.
I feel like I'm taking advantage of you.
I tug his head down to mine. I need you, Reed. Don't make me beg. And just like that, he gives in. One hand comes up to tangle in my hair, while the other pulls me roughly against him.
You don't ever have to ask again. I'll give you anything you want.
His mouth slants over mine, softly at first, just feather-light touches, as if he's memorizing the shape of my lips with his own. And then, just when I'm about to plead for more, he sweeps his tongue inside my parted lips and kisses me so deeply that I feel dizzy. We tumble back onto the mattress. His hands find my hips, and they move me against him. His mouth is fused to mine, hungry and demanding. I pour everything I have into the kiss, all my love, my loneliness, my hopes, my sadness. Reed takes it and gives me everything in return. We tangle up in each other's arms, and his mouth finds the pulse points behind my ear and at the base of my throat, as he kisses me like he can't get enough. He pushes one thigh between my legs and even through my panties and his jeans. I find the relief I need. Almost. It's still not enough, and I make my unhappiness known in the form of an agonized moan. He raises himself up on his elbows and peers down at me, his eyes at half-mast, lips swollen from our kisses. He is the hottest guy on the planet, and he's mine, at least for tonight. More, I beg. He grins, then rolls over on his side, and slides one hand between my legs. A shockwave rocks my body.
Better?
He whispers. Not even close. I squirm, and another grin tugs at the corners of his mouth, before his gaze smolders again. His palm moves in a small circle, and the heel of his hand presses into the spot that's aching for him. My body is like a live wire, seconds away from exploding. Literally seconds, because all it takes is another rub of his palm, and pleasure bursts inside me. I gasp and tremble, stunned by how incredible it feels. Maybe it's the drugs, but I like to think it's Reed. His low murmur of encouragement as I rock against his hand, the proof of his excitement pressing against my hip. His lips find mine again, and I kiss him with renewed urgency, because the need is rising again, faster than either of us expected. I reach for him, pulling on his shoulders until he's on top of me. Our mouths collide, and he groans when I arch upward to rub against him. The hardness of his body is the only thing providing me relief. He's huge and ready, but when I reach between us, he pushes my hand away.
No, his voice is tortured. This isn't about me. Not tonight. Not when you're...
drugged, I think he wants to say. But I don't feel high anymore. Or at least, not high on anything other than him. His mouth latches onto my neck, kissing and sucking it, as he rocks his body against mine. The pleasure builds, but his genes are getting in the way. I don't want this to just be about me. I want... He swats my hand away again, and then moves off me altogether. But he doesn't go far. Heat prickles my skin as he kisses a path between my breasts. Warm lips brush my nipple. When his tongue comes out for a taste, I see stars. When his mouth closes over me, I stop breathing. Each teasing lick makes me hotter and hotter. Under his grip, I thrash my body, straining for something elusive. He shifts again, taking my other nipple in his mouth, and then he moves lower, his lips gliding down to my stomach. Oh my God, I whisper. My nerve endings hum with need. Reed, I beg.
It's all right, baby. I've got you. I know what you need.
My heart stops when he moves between my legs. I can feel his hand trembling as he slides the thin panties down my legs. A sharp intake of breath is all he gives before his mouth lowers onto me. I cry out from the unfamiliar sensation. It feels good. So good. His tongue finds a sensitive spot, causing my hips to buck up. A loud moan flies out. I dig my teeth into my bottom lip to try to stay quiet, but Reed is driving me crazy. I almost pass out, grabbing the back of his head to pull his hair. He peers up with smoky eyes.
You want me to stop?
No. He keeps going. His tongue is magic, flicking against me in a relentless rhythm. He makes a husky noise, as if my response is as wonderful as all the things he's making me feel. His fingers trace a path up my inner thigh. He lifts his head to ask for silent permission. I give it to him with an anxious nod. I want this so bad. His eyes close as he slides one finger slowly inside me. He grits his teeth.
You're so fucking tight.
Told you so. I manage to choke out. He laughs.
Yeah, you did.
He pulls out and glides a hand over my thigh.
I'm going to make this feel so good for you.
I already feel good. I protest, drawing up my legs. A cocky, familiar grin shines up at me.
You haven't seen anything yet.
He settles back between my legs, and his shoulders push me open so far that I should be blushing, but all I can feel is anticipation. With one arm looped around my thigh, he eases his finger back inside me. The muscles in my legs tighten. My fingers dig into his skull, but he doesn't stop kissing me, even as the pleasure crashes over me in waves that drag me under. Once I go limp, he climbs up and lies beside me, drawing me toward him. His lips find my neck again, and he breathes deeply.
Why did you have to come here?
I'm confused by the question. You know why, your father...
I mean, why now?
His frustrated words heat my skin.
Maybe another time, away from this place, you and me would have a different story.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying this can't happen again.
He lifts his head, and I see his misery.
I need to go away. I need to leave this goddamn place and remake myself into something better. Someone worthy.
His voice trips on that last word. Worthy, I echo in a whisper. Why do you think you're not worthy? He's silent for a moment. His palm absently caresses my shoulder.
It doesn't matter. He finally says, just forget it.
Reed. He sits up and shrugs out of the spare t-shirt he'd put on in the car. The other shirt, the one he ripped off his back and put on me when we were leaving the party, sits discarded on the floor, along with the rest of my clothes.
Close your eyes, Ella, he says roughly, settling beside me again.
He's shirtless now, but still wearing his jeans. The denim scratches my bare leg when I swing it over him.
Just close your eyes and go to sleep.
My voice is muffled against his bare chest. You promise you won't leave?
I promise.
I snuggle closer, losing myself in the warmth of his body and the steady beating of his heart beneath my ear. When I wake up the next morning, Reed is gone. Chapter 25.
You doing good, little sis?
Easton eyes me from the kitchen table as I stagger into the kitchen, feeling like I'd been run over by an 18-wheeler. No, I feel awful. I pour myself a glass of water at the sink, chug it, then pour another one. Easton's tone is lined with sympathy.
You crashed hard, huh? Happened to me too the first time Molly walked into my life. Molly?
Callum's curious voice says from the doorway.
Got a new girlfriend, Easton? What happened to Claire?
I can see Easton fighting back laughter.
Claire and I are donezo, but this Molly chick is pretty cool.
He shoots me an impish grin. My head is pounding too hard for me to even crack a smile. Callum's gaze shifts to me, and he's visibly startled.
Ella, you look terrible.
Suspicion darkens his face as he swings back to his son.
What kind of trouble did you get her into last night?
Just the usual liquid trouble. Turns out Ella can't handle her liquor.
I give him a grateful look behind Callum's back. I guess the royal truce also includes covering for each other. Not that I willingly took drugs last night. My hands curl into fists as I remember Daniel's lust-glazed eyes and the way he'd groped me.
You got drunk last night?
Callum's mouth is tight as he turns back to me. A little, I confess.
Oh, come on, Dad, don't get all parental on us now, Easton pipes up. You gave me my first beer when I was 12.
11 for me,
Gideon says, striding into the kitchen. He's shirtless, and there's a noticeable scratch mark over his left pec. He glances at me, his sympathy obvious.
How you feeling? Hung over.
Easton answers for me, then glances pointedly at his brother when their dad isn't looking. Callum still isn't happy with me.
I don't want you drinking excessively.
You jealous she might dethrone you as excessive drinking champion of the royal family?
Easton cracks.
That's enough, Easton.
Hey, just pointing out the hypocrisy, Dad, and apparently the double standard. You don't give a shit when any of us get wasted, so why can't Ella?
Callum looks from his sons to me, then shakes his head.
I guess I should be happy that you all are sticking up for each other now.
Footsteps echo in the hall, and my breath lodges in my throat when Reed enters the kitchen. Black track pants ride low on his hips, and his muscular chest is bare and slightly damp, as if he's just come out of the shower. He doesn't look at me as he heads for the fridge. My spirits plummet, though I'm not sure what kind of reaction I expected. Waking up alone was a clear message, and what he'd said yesterday,
this can't happen again,
only makes that message clearer.
Oh, Ella, Callum says suddenly, I forgot to tell you, your car is arriving tomorrow, so you'll be able to drive yourself to work on Monday morning.
Although I'm relieved that Callum can finally say the word work without frowning at me, I'm also hit with a rush of disappointment. At the fridge, Reed's back stiffens. He knows what this means, too. No more carpooling for us. That's great,
I say meekly.
Anyway, Callum glances around the kitchen. What's everyone's plans for today? Ella, I was thinking you and I could go to...
I'm going to the pier with Valerie,
I interrupt. We're having lunch at this seafood restaurant right on the water that she keeps raving about.
He seems disappointed.
Oh, all right. That sounds like fun.
He turns to his sons.
Anyone want to hit the driving range with me? It's been ages since we've all gone.
Not a single royal brother takes him up on his invitation. And when Callum trudges out of the kitchen, looking like a lost puppy, I can't help but frown.
You guys can't even try to make an effort? I ask them.
Trust me, we make an effort.
It's Gideon who answers, and his ugly sneer catches me off guard. When he stalks off, I look at Easton. What's up his ass?
No clue.
For once, Easton is as clueless as I am. But Reed must know something we both don't, because he scowls and says,
Lay off, kid.
Then he walks out too. He hadn't looked at me, not even once. And the pain that squeezes my heart is a thousand times worse than any hangover. Lunch with Valerie is fun, but I beg off early because my head still feels like it's being stabbed with rusty knives. She laughs and tells me that the bigger the hangover, the better the party must have been, and I let her believe the same thing Callum believes, that I drank a little too much and now I'm being punished for it. I don't know why I don't tell her about Daniel. Val is my friend, and she'd be the first person in line to beat the bejesus out of Daniel for what he did to me. But something holds me back from telling her. Maybe it's shame. I shouldn't feel ashamed. I shouldn't. I didn't do anything wrong, and if I'd had even the slightest suspicion that Daniel was such a psycho, I never would have gone into the pool house with him. Ever. But each time I think about last night, I picture myself ripping my clothes off and whispering Reed's name while Daniel's slimy hands ran all over my body. I picture that, and I'm flooded with shame. And I can't even distract myself by thinking about what happened afterward. The good part, when I was whispering Reed's name for other reasons. I can't think about it because it makes me sad. Reed wanted me last night, and he gave me as much of himself as he'd been willing to give. But now he's taken it away again. Valerie drops me off at the mansion and speeds off in her housekeeper's car. She told me at lunch that her boyfriend is coming home next weekend, and I'm looking forward to meeting the guy. The amount of time she spends talking about Tam, I feel like I already know him. It's another beautiful afternoon, so I decide to change into my bathing suit and lie by the pool for a while. Hopefully the sunshine will make me feel human again. I grab a book and get settled on a lounger, but I only have about 20 minutes of solitude before Gideon strides out in his Speedo. Of all the royal brothers, Gideon is probably the one with the least amount of body fat. He has a swimmer's frame, and Easton told me he got a full ride to college on a swim scholarship. The twins insist that he'll be winning gold at the next Summer Olympics, but it's a good thing there are no Olympic officials around today, because they'd reject him in a heartbeat. His strokes are uneven, and his pace is alarmingly slow. But maybe I'm worried for nothing. I mean, I've only seen him swim one other time. Maybe he's just taking it easy today.
Ella, he calls as he heaves himself out of the pool nearly an hour later.
Yeah? He walks toward me, dripping water all over the deck.
There's a party on the beach tonight, at the Worthington Estate.
He rubs his towel over his chest.
I want you to stay home.
I arch a brow. You're in charge of my social calendar now?
Tonight I am.
His tone brooks no argument.
I mean it. Stay away from the party.
After last night, I have no interest in going to another party ever again, but I still don't appreciate being told what to do. Maybe.
No maybe about it. Stay home.
He disappears into the house, and not even 5 minutes later, Easton walks out and looms over my chair.
Brent Worthington is having a
party, I finish. Yeah, I know all about it. He rubs a hand over the stubble on his jaw.
You're not going.
You've been talking to Gideon, I see. His expression reveals that he has, but then he tries a different approach, flashing me that boyish grin of his.
Look, there's no reason for you to go out, little sis. Take the night off, relax, watch some soap operas.
Soap operas? What do you think I am, a 50-year-old housewife?
He snickers.
Fine, then watch some porn, but you're not coming with us tonight.
Us? I echo.
Is Reed going?
Easton shrugs, and the way he avoids my gaze raises my hackles. What the hell do they have planned for tonight?
Panic tugs at my belly. Is Daniel going to be there? Is that why they want to keep me away?
I don't get a chance to ask the question, because Easton is already dashing off. Sighing, I pick up my book and try to concentrate on the chapter I'm reading, but it's no use. I'm worried again.
Hey.
I look up and find Reed approaching. For the first time today, he actually meets my eyes. He lowers his broad body onto the chair next to mine.
How you feeling?
I tuck my book at my side.
Better?
My head isn't pounding anymore, but my body still feels kinda weak. He nods.
You should eat something.
I did.
Then eat more.
Trust me, I'm stuffed. A grin springs to my lips. Valerie shoved an insane amount of shrimp and crab legs down my throat at lunch. His lips twitch.
Smile, I beg silently at him. Smile at me. Touch me. Kiss me, anything.
The smile doesn't surface.
Listen, about last night.
He clears his throat.
I need to know something.
My forehead creases.
Okay?
Did you... Was it...
He lets out a breath.
Do you feel like I took advantage of you?
What?
Of course not.
But the intensity in his eyes doesn't waver.
You need to be straight with me. If you feel like I took advantage or did anything you didn't want me to do, you have to tell me.
I sit up and lean toward him, cupping his face with both hands.
You didn't do anything that I didn't want you to do.
His relief is obvious. When I sweep my thumbs over his jaw, his breath hitches.
Don't look at me like that.
Like what?
I whisper.
You know what?
Groaning, he moves my hands off his face and rises unsteadily to his feet.
It can't happen again. I won't let it.
Frustration jams inside me.
Why not?
Because it's not right. I'm not... I don't want you, okay?
A sneer forms.
I was being nice to you last night because you were hopped up on E and you needed some relief. I was just doing you a solid, but that's all it was. I don't want you.
He marches away before I can answer. Or rather, before I can call him a big fat liar. He doesn't want me? Bullshit. If he didn't want me, then he wouldn't have kissed me like he was a starving man and I was his only source of nourishment. If he didn't want me, he wouldn't have worshipped my body like it was the greatest gift he'd ever received, or held me in his arms until I fell asleep. He's lying to me, and now my concern levels are at an all-time high. Not just concern, but determination. Because clearly, Reed Royal has secrets I can't even begin to decode. But I will. I'm going to find out everything. Why he keeps everyone at a distance. Why he feels unworthy. Why he's pretending there isn't something between us, when we both know there is. I'm going to learn all his secrets, damn it. Which means, I guess, I'm going to another party tonight.
Chapter 26.
I need reinforcements, or at the very least, intel. From what Gideon said, the Worthingtons live down the shore, and close enough that you must be able to hear some noise at the royal property. They also must have kids close in age to the royal brothers, but that's about it. Good thing I know someone who's gossip central. Valerie answers on the first ring.
You need more seafood?
I told you the best cure for a hangover is food. The thought of even one more piece of shellfish in my stomach makes me want to barf.
No thanks. I was wondering if you were done Skyping with Tam and wanted to come over and spy on the royals with me.
Valerie sucks in a breath.
I'll be right over.
Hey, I interject before she hangs up. Do you have a car?
No. And you can't ask one of the brothers to pick me up, can you?
She says glumly. Don't worry, Durand will pick you up.
Hell, once I tell Callum I want to have a friend over, he'll volunteer. Oh, Callum. Nice. He's hot for an old guy. Gross, Valerie.